Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2, Faculty of Social Science. Critical Comments, Act 1, Look Back in Anger. Introduction. In the act, all the main characters are introduced, though. We meet only three physically and at the same time get acquainted with the situations of the Porter's flat. The most dominating character is Jimmy Porter, a keenly dissatisfied man who gives vent to his anger by constantly lashing out at people or thing. Throughout this act, we find Jimmy making scathing remarks, criticizing his friends and in-laws, and denouncing his wife. Jimmy, the angry young man. Jimmy is introduced to us as a tall, thin young man of about 25. He is addicted to smoking a pipe. He is a disturbing mixture of sincerity and cheerful malice. He is restless and proud. From his sketching attack on everything under the sun, it seems that he is a man disillusioned with life. When the place opens, Jimmy and Cliff are reading the Sunday newspaper. He makes a lot of fuss about the news items. After reading a news item by the Bishop of Bramberley, he makes fun of him. Jimmy's dissatisfaction with things and persons becomes more evident when he starts talking. He snubs Cliff as an ignorant man at the slightest excuse. He is annoyed at Allison's ceaseless ironing. He loses his coolness at the ringing of the church bell. The slightest sound or careless answer is enough to provoke him. He grumbles over the sameness and routine activity of the Sunday. He is fed up with everything and anything. He accuses Alicia and Cliff of having no enthusiasm for being dull and sarcastically asks them to play a game and behave like human being or sometime. He hits out at everybody by his civet comments and does not spare even his wife from his attack. He behaves in a sadistic manner. He curses his wife, "If only something would happen to you and wake you out of your beauty sleep. If you could have child and it would die." From this, it can be assumed that, like a sadist, he takes pleasure in inflicting pain on others. His constant provocation of his wife to the point of breakdown and retaliation proves that he is a sadist. His verbal assault on Allison's family, more particularly on Allison's mother, seems to be out of his hatred against the middle class. Jimmy's mocking comments on his wife. Though marked by sarcasm and bitterness, most of Jimmy's comments are witty. We cannot help but marvel at his rhetorical speeches used to condemn others, though pity is the target of his attack. He reserves his harsher possible words to condemn Alicia and her family. He tries to provoke his wife early the act by criticizing her for remaining silent. He asks her, "You can talk, can't you? You can express an opinion, or does the white woman's burden make it impossible to think?" Failing to get a response from his wife in spite of his brutal assault, he says to Cliff, "Nothing I could do would provoke her, not even if I were to drop dead." He crudely refers to Allison as this monument to non-attachment and calls her Lady Pusillanimous. Not satisfied with simply this, he goes a step further to torment his wife. He picks up a dictionary and reads out the meaning. Pusillanimous adjectives: wanting of firmness of mind, of a small courage, having a little mind, mean spirited, cowardly, timid of mind, and as if pleased with himself, blurt out, "That's my wife. That's her, is not it?" He takes pleasure in making cruel comments on his wife. He criticizes her for her noisiness, her constant ironing of clothes, etc. Jimmy's attack on Allison's family. Jimmy is more hostile in his opinion about Allison's family. He makes the most scathing remarks on his in-laws, more particularly his mother-in-law, Allison's mother. He speaks about them in most insulting manner without showing the last concern for Allison's feeling. He refers to her parents as militants, arrogant and full of malice. He sarcastically says the Bishop of Bramble is actually her father, writing offending articles under an assumed name. He cruelly condemns his wife for corresponding with her family in spite of his disapproval. Letters from her mother. Letters in which I am not mentioned at all because my name is a dirty word. His remarks about brother Nigel is equally venomous. He calls him the straight-backed chillness word from Sedhurst, calling him the platitude from outer space. He mocks at Nigel's vague knowledge. Nigel is just about as vague as you can get without being actually visible. Carrying on his rhetoric condemnation, Jimmy says that Nigel should get a medal for vagary because Nigel's knowledge of life and ordinary human being is very lazy. Jimmy's whole speech condemning Nigel is a masterpiece of irony, sarcasm and invective. Although we do not approve of his strong criticism of others, yet we marvel at his eloquence and choice of words. Jimmy's hatred for Helena. Helena Charles is another character who arouses Jimmy's wrath. The mere mention of her name is enough to anger him. He calls her that bitch without the slightest hesitation and courtesy. The news that she is coming to stay with them threw him into a fit of anger. He considers her as one of his natural enemies and sarcastically asks his wife to tell Helena to bring her armor because she will need it to protect herself against Jimmy's harsh attacks. His praise for Webster and Madeline. The only people who are lucky enough to be spared of Jimmy's sharp tongue are Webster, Allison's friend, and Madeline, his ex-mistress. Webster says Jimmy speaks the same language as himself, though in a different dialect. He gives due credit to Webster for possessing qualities as drive and enthusiasm. He tells Allison that Webster is the only friend of her who is worth something. Madeline, his mistress, when he was only 18, also interestingly escapes his harsh language. Jimmy says that she had more life in her little finger than both Allison and Cliff put together, praising her lively disposition and enthusiasm. He says, with her, it was simply the delight of being awake and watching. Jimmy's love for his wife. In spite of being cruel in his condemnation of Allison, Jimmy has genuine care for his wife. In his mock fight with Cliff, Allison accidentally burns her arm by the hot iron. His most immediate reaction is, "Darling, I'm sorry." The ever-condemning sadist husband almost immediately apologizes. The reasserts his genuine regret. I am sorry, believe me. You think I did it not on purpose. When Cliff goes out liming, the two alone, we see a tender and passionate moment between the couple. He tells her that there is hardly a moment when he is not watching and watching her. Even after 4 years of their married life, he cannot stop sweating when he sees her doing some ordinary work like ironing. He says that even her trivial actions have become indispensable to him. He becomes quite sentimental and puts his face against her belly, and she strikes his head, kissing him passionately. At this crucial moment, Jimmy's condemnation of Allison, his wife. At the end of this act, Jimmy condemns his wife in the most cruel and hostile manner. He says that Allison has got much to learn and that he only hopes that she will learn it one day. He contemptuously wishes that something terrible would happen to her which would wake her up to the shocking reality from her beauty sleep. If she could have a child that dies, only that would make her sensitive and more human. He humiliates her in front of Clip, saying that she has the passion of Python and that she devours him as if he was an oversized rabbit. In the terrifying speech where he wished her to have a child that dies possesses tragic irony because subsequently she loses her child in a miscarriage. Allison, a tolerant wife. The first act gives us a good preview of the important characters. We learn a good deal about Allison. We are amazed by the most striking quality of her personality, her power of tolerance. She hardly loses her coolness in spite of Jimmy's extremely offensive and abusive manner of criticism. She hardly retaliates to Jimmy's scathing more comments on her and her family members. Throughout the act, she displays a remarkable spirit of forbearance and tolerance. Jimmy's deliberate attempt to provoke her to retaliate hit back fails as she silently continues her work, turning a deaf ear to him. Angered more by her silence, he blurts out, "Don't think I could provoke her. Nothing I could do would provoke her, not even if I were to drop dead." She does sometimes become desperate, yet like any other woman, she does not fly into a fit of rage. She is so used to Jimmy's well-rehearsed attack that she carries on with her ironing. Sometimes Jimmy's criticism becomes too unbearable for her, and she breaks her silence. "God help me. If he does not stop, I will go out of my mind in a minute." In Jimmy's absence, she confides in Cliff that she cannot take any more of Jimmy, and she feels rather sick. Her married life with Jimmy is in jeopardy, and she is disillusioned with life. Allison's attachment to her parents and with Cliff. Jimmy's accusation and reference to Allison as this moment to non-attachment is ironically in view of the fact that she was deeply attached to her family members. Allison still keeps in touch with her parents through regular correspondence despite Jimmy's opposition. Her attachment with her family member is one of the causes of Jimmy's risk, and he torturously condemns her for it. Allison is quite attached to Cliff. Also, she has a deep affection for him and openly displays it. She has great faith in him and confides in him about her greatest fear and secrets. When Jimmy hurts an abusive remark at his wife, Cliff immediately comes to her rescue. "Leave the poor girl alone. She is busy." His concern for Allison is quite evident. Their mutual affection is often expressed in cares. Cliff shares an affectionate rather than passionate relationship with Allison, of a gentle, caring friend rather than a lover. He is her confidant, a person with whom she shares many of her secrets and problems. Allison unhesitatingly confides him the secrets she treats to reveal to her husband. This attitude of Allison regarding the two men makes their contrast more apparent. The contrast between Jimmy and Cliff. If Jimmy alienates love, Cliff seems to exact it. He is a soothing, natural counterpoint to Jimmy. Nothing contrasts the two characters more perfectly than this. Cliff's behavior, his talk, his conduct emphasizes the contrast between him and Jimmy. While Jimmy, with his crude, offensive manner, constantly torments his wife, Cliff serves as a balm, an antidote to Alison's pain and suffering, making life tolerable for her in Jimmy's one room apartment. He is a fool to Jimmy, bringing out his distinctive qualities by sheer contrast. Although he is no match to the rhetoric outburst of Jimmy, yet in his own simple and uncomplicated way, he tries to oppose his attack on Alison at the very beginning. Jimmy is playing on his trumpet. The scene, first of Act 2, opens at evening time. 2 weeks have passed. Alison and Helena talk to each other in absence of Jimmy. Alison says that it is wonderful to have someone in the house to help her with the household duties. He replies that she has enjoyed doing the work, but complains that she has not been used to going to the bathroom every time she needs some water. In their heart-to-heart conversation, Helena mentions that looking after one man is though tough, but two men are a different, difficult undertaking. Alison says that Cliff does not need any looking after. He takes care of himself. From the hall, Jimmy is playing his trumpet in intermittent bursts. Much of the irritation of the two ladies, and Alison speaks out her mind that she wished that Jimmy would lose the demand trumpet. Helena joins in and says that Jimmy is playing the trumpet just to irony her. Alison is believed that the landlady was not present, otherwise she could have given them the notice to vacate the house. Alison comments cynically that the whole neighborhood will soon gather at their door if Jimmy did not end his playing. Helena thoughtfully says that the way Jimmy is playing the trumpet, it seems that he wants to kill someone, and adds that it may be to kill her particularly. She exclaims that it is horrifying and that she has never seen so much hatred in anyone's eyes before. Alison casually informs her friend that Jimmy had his own zaband once. He might give up his sweet style to start a jazz band. Helena's curiosity over Alison-Cliff relation. Helena rather abruptly asks Alison if Cliff was in love with her. This question catches her off guard and replies that she does not think so. Alison says that she and Cliff are fond of each other. It's simply that and nothing more. Helena is not convinced. Alison repeats that though physically they are attached and openly hugs and kisses each other, there is no sexual passion in their attachment. It's just a relaxed, cheerful sort of thing, like being warm in bed. Helena is anxious to know how Jimmy reacted to Cliff and Alison's attachment. Alison says that it is difficult for her to explain the position. Jimmy, according to her, is very particular about elegance and expects everyone to be loyal to him. He not only expects his friends to be loyal to him, but to all the things that he believes in, not only of his present and future, but his past as well. She says that her relationship with Cliff has worked out because he is kind and lovable, and she is genuinely fond of him, not simply because he was Jimmy's friend. Alison's account of her marital life. Alison then narrates her story after marriage. Her parents strongly opposed her marriage with Jimmy. Jimmy was without a job, without money, and after marriage they had no place to live in either. They lived with Hug, Jimmy's childhood friend, and his mother, Mrs. Tanner, in a flat in Poplar. Hug and Alison disliked each other at the very first meeting, and Jimmy sighed. She had been alienated from her family, friends, and the kind of people she was used to. They had a little celebration, and yet she felt lovely and depressed. She was at loss at what to do
and she had married against her parents' will, and so could not approach them. And her brother, the only person who could have turned to, was busy with the election. Alison narrates her nightmares. Stay at the place of Hug. The whole place was like a jungle. Both Jimmy and Hug were extremely uncompromising and behaved like savages. Hug was even more crude and unrefined than Jimmy. They regarded her as a hostage of the middle class against which they were waging a war. They had a tight financial position. Apart from the small income that she was getting from the new shares she had, they had no money. Her mother had made her sign everything else to herself when she learned about Alison's decision to marry Jimmy. Hag and Jimmy thought of a way to get out of their financial difficulty. They would go uninvited to Alison's relatives and friends' place. They would drag her along like a hostess, and in her name would attend all the parties, cocktail dinners, etc., and avail the hospitality they showered for Alison's sake. Taking advantage of their hospitality, they would go plundering them, eating their foods, making merry with their drinks, and thoroughly enjoying themselves. They behaved just like barbarians. Alison wished that someone would slam the door at them, but nobody did, either out of their politeness or out of pity for Alison. Once they were nearly thrown out of a house after Hug tried to seduce a young girl. The circumstance under which Alison married Jimmy. Helena was shocked to hear all this and asked why she married a man like Jimmy. Alison explained that her parents returned from India after her father's retirement. Everything in India, in England, seemed to have undergone a tremendous change to her father. Her father seemed rather remote and irritable, and her mother had always been difficult to deal with. She was only a carefree girl of 21 when she met Jimmy at a party. The man at the party distrusted him, while the ladies showed their contempt for Jimmy. He came to the party on a bicycle, and his dinner jacket was smeared all over with oil. He looked very young and frail. Somehow, this odd creature at the party attracted her, and she decided to marry him. Her parents were furious when they heard about it, and their opposition strengthened her resolve to marry him. Her parents did everything to stop the marriage, but in vain. Jimmy, too, in spite of his frail body, was full of fire and went into the battle with her parents. Jimmy seemed to her at that time a knight in shiny armor who were hell-bent on winning his lady love, except, sadly comments Alison, that his armor did not really shine very much. Separation from Huck's family. Continuing her talk from the past, Alison tells Helena how she and Jimmy separated from Hug, with whom they stayed for a few months in Poplar. Hug had been writing some novel and made up his mind to go abroad. He was dissatisfied with England and wanted to try his luck in some other countries. He wanted Jimmy and Alison to go with him. Since Jimmy did not agree with him, there was a bitter quarrel between them. Jimmy pointed out that it would be wrong on Hug's part to leave his old mother behind. They broke up, and as a result, Jimmy and Alison came to this particular flat in Poplar. While Hug went to some other country, Alison says that Hug's mother held her responsible for her son's departure, and Jimmy also blamed her, though he said nothing. She confesses that whenever the old woman looks at her, she can feel her thought blaming Alison for her son's departure. Hug's mother is a sweet lady Jimmy adores her because she is poor and ignorant. Allison confesses that it stands snobbish, but it is the truth. The Bears and Squirrels Game. Hearing the account of Allison's nightmares like after marriage, Helena advises her to make up her mind. She tells Allison as a new responsibility. The lady awaits her. She should decide about her future. Things have not to change. Allison cannot go on living like this. At this condition, Helena asks Allison why she has not told Jimmy about her pregnancy. Allison replies that she does not know, and then, anticipating Helena's thought, she says the baby is Jimmy's and there is no doubt about it. She suits and says that she never really wanted any other man in her life. Helena seems concerned with Allison's plight and suggests that Allison should give an ultimatum to give to Jimmy. Either Jimmy should be in to behave and look after Allison properly, or she will get off this madhouse. Helena contemptuously says that Jimmy does not know what love means. Allison points out to a chest of drawer, two stuffed toys, one bear and a squirrel, and says the bear is Jimmy while she is the squirrel. Allison explains the bear and a squirrel's game, the game that she and Jimmy plays. They imagine themselves to be bears and squirrels. Astounded, Helena asks if there is something wrong with Jimmy. Allison replies that he was perfectly alright and that it was only to escape from the sordid reality that she and Jimmy began to imagine themselves as bears and squirrels and play. In this world of fantasy, they behaved like carefree creatures and showered their uncomplicated affection for each other. Allison sadly says that now even the bears and squirrels are dead. Helena firmly tells her that she has got to fight Jimmy, otherwise he will drive her to death. Helena. Cliff enters and inquires about tea. Allison replies that it is ready and asks him to call Jimmy. Cliff calls out to Jimmy and tells him to stop playing the bloody trumpet and come for tea. Jimmy comes and joins them for tea at the table and says that people who does not like jazz has no feeling either for music or for human beings. Helena dismisses this as mere rubbish and Jimmy replies that it confirms his statement. Zimira complains that no one in the house knows how to keep the papers except himself, because he is the one who pays for it. When Cliff calls him mean fellow, he resorts back calling him Welsh brass. That Cliff has no intellect and so has no business to read the newspaper. He then ironically asks Cliff if he has been talking to some of Allison's friends who are an intellectual set of people. Cliff and Helena carry on with their meal, ignoring his comments. He starts again and accuses Cliff of being too anxious to please others. Helena immediately replies, "Thank heavens, somebody is." Jimmy then makes another adverse remarks on his wife, calling her sweet and sticky outside but all white, messy and disgusting inside. Turning to Cliff, he says that if Cliff tries to please others, he will end up becoming black, heated, evil-minded, and vicious. Still unable to evoke any response from his wife, Jimmy reminds Cliff that what he said about his wife and her relations, that they were psychopathic, phlegmatic, and pusillanimous. Jimmy then announces that he has composed a song and the title is "You Can Quit Hanging Round My Counter Milder, Cause You Will Find My Position Is Closed." On being asked whether the title was good, Allison gives a positive reply. Jimmy says that the song would become a big hit if he could give some religious element. He turns to Helena and sarcastically asks her if she agreed with him. Getting no response from her, he sings out the song. Cliff agrees that it is a good song. In a desperate attempt to provoke Helena, who was maintaining the golden silence till now, Jimmy says that he has composed a poem the previous day, which will appeal to Helena since it bears the religious influence of Dante and Eliot. The poem begins thus: "There is no dry cleaners in Cambodia." Helena could no longer bear and break out her silence, asking him why does he try so hard to be unpleasant and offensive to others. Jimmy is delighted that Helena has responded to his bait. He tells her that she has underestimated him by thinking that he is offensive. Jimmy opposes Allison's going to the church. As Allison was getting dressed, Jimmy asked her where she was going to reach. Allison replied that she was going with Helena. Annoyed by her indirect answer, he retorts that she does not ask her with whom she was going. He only wanted to know where she was going. Helena now intervenes and says that Allison is going to the church with her. Jimmy was stunned by this revelation. He does not believe in going to the church and even prevented his wife from doing so. Enraged, he asks Allison if she had forgotten whatever he did for her. Fearing another sketching attack on herself and her family, Allison ironically replies that they all know what he did for her, how he rescued her from the wicked clutches of her family, members and friends. She cynically comments that had he not rescued her, she still would have been rotting away at home. Reassured by her talk, Jimmy cools down and says that he really had to write upon a white charger to rescue her. Jimmy attacks Allison's mother. While speaking of his recovering Allison from her parental home, Jimmy gets another chance to attack Allison's mother, for whom his contempt was limitless. Very contemptuously, he remarks that the middle-aged had done everything and anything to protect her daughter against ruffians like him. She would resort to all sorts of vices, cheating, lying, bullying, and blackmailing to protect her daughter from him. He carried on his verbal assault on her, comparing her to a rhinoceros in labor, and as a knight in Bombay brothel. Cliff tries to stop him, but in vain. Helena tries to stop him, but his attacks becomes more aggressive. Condemning Allison's murder, he says that the old bitch should be dead. He repeats this with an intention to infuriate and provoke Allison. Allison does not react. Continuing his onslaught, he says that even the worms in the grave of that old woman will get indigestion problem after eating her dead body, though as usual Allison keeps mum. Helena reacts, saying that she feels sick to hear all this. Not satisfied with all the words of contempt, he proceeds to tell that one day after he retires, the sweet stall contempt to proceed to tell that one day after he retires, the sweet stall, he would write a book. The material of the book is already in his mind. He adds that it will be a book written in flame. His book will be recollected in fire, not tranquility. Now Helena intervenes, saying that how a simple thing like Allison's going to the church calls for such an aggressive outburst. Helena says that perhaps Jimmy thinks that the world has been unfair to him. Allison at this breaks her silence and ironically urges Helena not try to take away Jimmy's suffering, because he would be best without it. Jimmy's talk of his marriage. Jimmy bluntly asks Helena the purpose of her stay when she and had finished her play at the local theater. Helena replies that she has extended her stay at Allison's request. Jimmy turns to Allison and asks, why is she allowing herself to be influenced by Helena? Irritated by his question, Allison bursts out saying that the words why is troubling her all the time. Jimmy replies that as long as she is around, he would go on using it. Then he addresses to Helena from behind and says that the last time Allison was in the church was at the time of her marriage with Jimmy. He would not have gone to the church even to marry, but the local registrar was a friend of Allison's father, and he anticipated that the information of the proposed marriage would reach her parents, and they might have taken steps to stop it. However, when Jimmy and Allison had gone to the church, her parents were already present there as they came to know about it. Helena's threat to Jimmy. Helena asks Jimmy if he has finished his talk. Ignoring her, Jimmy asks Allison if she is allowing herself to be deceived of this scent in Dyer's clothing. Helena, he contemptuously calls Helena a sacred cow. When Cliff tries to stop him, he accuses Cliff to taking Helena's side like Allison. Then in a long speech, he ridicules Helena's philosophy of life. In his long speech of condemnation, he says that Helena is an expert in the new economics, which is the economics of the supernatural. She is one of those mysterious share pushers who are spreading all those rumors about a transfer of power. All the old traditions are crumbling under the impact of the philosophy of people like Helena. He sarcastically remarks that people like Helena advises others to hope for gain in the next world. She thinks that future progress lies in going backwards. The only place where she can see light is dark ages. Annoyed at Jimmy's criticism, Helena calmly responds, saying that had he been sitting near her, she would probably have slapped him. She warns him that if he comes near her, she would definitely slap him. Jimmy retorts that if she slaps him, he would play her out in retaliation. He reminds that he has no public school scruples about hitting the fairer sex. Helena casually remarks that she would not be surprised if he behaved in that crude manner. Jimmy says that he detests physical violence, but that does not mean that he would sit idle when some women take the undue advantage of his philosophy. Jimmy's account of his dying father. Jimmy asks Helena if she has watched anybody dying. When Helena replies in negative, Jimmy mockingly says that anyone who has never seen somebody dying is suffering from a pretty bad case of virginity. He then gives a pathetic and rather painful account of his father's death. When he was just 10 years old, his father came back from the war in Spain for 12 long months. He watched his father dying. Everyone waited for him to die. His mother looked after him without complaining. Perhaps she pitied him. Nobody seemed to care for him. Jimmy was the only one who really cared and suffered. Every time he sat by his father's bedside and listened to him talk, Jimmy had to fight back his tears. His father used to pour his heart out to Jimmy, who could hardly understand half of what was said to him. Yet he could feel the despair and the bitterness of the dying man. He says that he knew more about love, betrayal, and death at the tender age of 10 than Helena would probably know all her life. Jimmy accuses Allison of being indifferent. Jimmy's account of his dying father hardly seems to affect anyone. Helena, in an indifferent manner, says that it is the time she went to the church. She goes downstairs and asks Allison to join her. Jimmy, enraged by their indifferent attitude, thus his wrath on her, and asks her why she was behaving in that manner after he had given her everything. But as Allison pays no attention, he becomes abusive, calling her young Judo's young you film. He accuses her of being influenced by Helena and therefore agrees to go to church with him. Allison, unable to bear any longer, strongly reacts. She hurls a teacup to the floor and says softly that she wants some peace. Jimmy sarcastically says that when his heart is full and he feels ill, Allison is seeking peace. He further says that Allison can attack someone with her silence. Whenever he feels upset or enraged, she instead of offering him any comfort, remains silent. Either he is crazy and mean and stupid, or she is. He asks Cliff which one of them is crazy, cruel and mean. As Allison gets ready to go, he crushes her, saying that he will wait for the day when she falls at his feet, groveling and clinging in an object manner. Helena accuses Cliff. Helena at this moment returns and informs Jimmy there is a phone call for him. Jimmy goes to attend the call. Helena asks Allison what Jimmy was raving about. She says that she feels like claiming his hair by the roots. He has no idea about what Allison would be going through all these months as she was expecting. Helena then turns to Cliff and accuses him of being a silent observer and doing nothing to protect Allison. Cliff replies that he is not a police officer. He says that though he does not hate her like Jimmy, yet he is not on her side either. He says that the situation in the Porter's home have worsened since her arrival. Defending himself, he says that the Porter's love has always been battlefield, and had he not been there, anything would have been over between the couple. Something commenting on his role in their minds, he says that he has always been no man island, a neutral point between the two. Sometimes their life has been quite peaceful and happy, but most of the time it has been hell. He says that he loves both Jimmy and Allison and pities all that includes Helena also. Helena surprisingly asks if he is pitying her as well, and then to avoid his reply goes on to say that she neither understands Jimmy nor Cliff. All that she knows is that none in the house seems to know how to behave in a decent and civilized way. Helena then rather abruptly informs Allison that she has sent a telegram to her father. Allison is rather taken aback, exclaims, "Oh!" Helena asks Allison if she would go with her father. When he comes to take her, Allison gives a positive reply. Helena says that after Allison is gone, Jimmy will come to his senses and be in a position to face the realities of life. Jimmy is sad at the news of Mrs. Tanner's illness. Jimmy returns and informs Allison that the telephone call was from a London hospital. He tells Allison that it was about Huck's mother, that she had a stroke. Allison responds with sympathy and says that she is sorry. Jimmy says that she may not survive and that he must go to visit her. Cliff asks if he should accompany Jimmy. Jimmy politically declines, saying that Cliff hardly knows that lady. Jimmy, however, wanted Allison to accompany him. He tells Allison that the first time the old lady saw her photograph, she was greatly moved and repeatedly kept exclaiming how beautiful Allison was. He softly and hesitantly asks Allison to come with him. Allison, instead of giving any reply to him, gets ready and goes towards the door to join Helena to go to the church. Jimmy can hardly believe when he sees Allison leaving him alone to face the situation. He picks up the teddy bear and throws it to the floor, where it lands with a thud, making a rattling and groaning sound. Jimmy then drops on the bed and buries his face in the sheet.
This is the end of Critical Comment Act First.